I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Like to read a passage of scripture now from Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to thank each one of you for coming today to this service, a memorial service for John Veeley. And at this time, we are going to have some memories of John. My memory of John started when John and Alba first started attending Morrow Bible Church. And they joined the church. I remember they joined our church just after Pastor Gossman announced that he was going to retire. And he gave one final appeal for folks to join the church and step up at this time. And that was back in 2014, and John and Alba joined our church at that time, and we met with them as elders, and I got to hear John's salvation testimony at that time. And I remember he gave testimony of putting his faith in Jesus Christ And through the ministry there at Delaware Bible Church, if I remember right, he was saved. He put his faith in Christ. And so I appreciate the memory that I had just there in his later years. But I think Pastor Gossman's going to come and share some more now.
He was a classmate in the second grade. Don was a classmate of John's, and their life was together for some time, and then as I understand that they both enlisted in the service together the day after they graduated, and then they were separated by job assignments, and they lost contact with each other. But having grown up on a farm, John was a very industrious worker, and like I say, I just come to know John when in his older years, but the more I've learned about him over the years, even as they had the garage sale or barn sale, house sale, tremendous. There was so many things that I learned that John was very capable in. But he's actually he spent most of his working years as a newspaper typesetter, and beginning here in Delaware, where he opened up. Was it there he opened up his own typesetting in Delaware? Okay, yes. And but you know, Pastor Howard mentioned, and John as well shared his personal testimony about the hungering that was in his soul, and how he just felt that there was something missing. He said he was driving down the road there, and evidently there near Bell Avenue in Delaware, and as I understand, I think he said he was crying. He said he just knew something was missing, and he saw the church there, and he went in. He opened the door and walked in, and Pastor Witt said to him, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "There's just I need something. Oh, there's something that's missing." And that's as close as I can remember his exact words. But then Pastor Witt opened the Bible and showed him his personal need was of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was there that that he trusted Christ as his Savior. It was on a trip to California to the Rose Bowl that John decided he wanted to see a little bit of Mexico, and he was there looking through some shops, and he met this pretty young lady, the one that's sitting right here, he didn't buy what was there, but he was back later that day, and then he come back and wanted to take her to dinner. She told him, and this was before he had, I kind of got ahead of the story, because he hadn't come to Christ yet at that time, and Alba told him that she could not date somebody that was not a Christian. But then it was then right after that, then where he met there with Pastor Witt, and Pastor Witt had led him to the Lord, and he found that longing in his heart was settled. But there was another longing, and that was this girl that he had met, and so he went back to Arizona, and he married this young lady. And then he worked in the newspaper there at Phoenix. He worked a night shift as long as other shifts, and he worked there for 35 years there in Phoenix. The first year of their marriage, they were there in Phoenix. John wasn't a desert man, as I understand. There was the mountains up there, and they went up there in the mountain, and they fell in love with the properties there, and ended up buying a piece of property, and then John was able to build actually five. He was able to build five different properties there in Arizona, but John missed the green vegetation of Ohio. You know, I never realized how nice it is here until I've heard people come from California and places and say, "Oh, there's so much. It's so lush here." The Lord sends rain, and we appreciate the rain. And usually we appreciate the rain. We got a little extra this last week, but they bought this piece of property out here on 229, and then how he was able to communicate back and forth from Arizona, building a barn and then another one, and putting a camper in it. Coming up, working on this house until finally, then they moved up here, John had many talents, it's been a blessing for us to have had the opportunity to meet him, to know of his personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hope and the confidence that gives one. And in the service today, the next couple hymns that are there in your program there, they express that confidence and that hope which Alba has now, and that John had in the Lord Jesus. And so Pastor Howard will lead us in those hymns.
All right, we're going to sing God Be With You. We'll sing two verses, verses 1 and 4. God Be With You should be on your hymn insert there in the program. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. On the last. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening way before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. And then we'll sing one more song now on the back of your song insert. My faith has found a resting place. On the back of the insert, My faith has found a resting place. We'll just sing the first two verses, just the first two verses. My faith has found a resting place. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Second as the last. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Is this mic not working?
Jesus.
Okay, all right. There's a passage in Scripture that the Lord has given the Christian that raises us to a different level of others at the time of death. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 and following. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In that 13th verse, the first verse, he said, concerning those which are asleep, and speaking here of death, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have a special confidence, a hope that is based upon the eternal Word of God that we can trust in. And that is why that I said that we have a different level. There, we always sorrow when there are those loved ones that we have had to leave behind. But we don't sorrow as those that have no hope because of this Scripture and what He goes on to say in this passage of Scripture. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to us today to have that kind of a confidence and hope. And sometimes we forget that in the midst of our sorrow. I remember a Sunday school teacher that I had as a boy, and she taught me these truths from the Bible. I remember when her husband passed away, and I was just home from college. I remember her husband passed away, and she was weeping there and asking, "Will I see him again?" I took her back to the passage that she had taught me, the Word of God. In the time of her desperation, she needed reminded of that. And it's a blessing for us to have that that we have in the Scriptures. You see, John's faith was placed in the finished work of Christ when He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And what does that mean to us today at the time of this funeral service? Let's look at consider the person of Jesus Christ, His power. And as we look at the promises that Christ has made, what kind of promises can one make that would speak of a resurrection? When the Lord Jesus was here, He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And he also, when he was at the grave of Lazarus, who had been dead for a few days, he said to Mary there, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. And by many witnesses and those that many came in time after that to see this one that they know had been dead, and Jesus raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus is revealed to be our very God. Colossians says, for by him we all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is the one who promises us the resurrection, the one who has power, the power over all creation, the one who made us and gives us life. And you know, Jesus promises that he made to his own, to those that trusted in him. In John chapter 6, three different times he says he will raise them up at the last day. In John 6:39, and this is the Father will which sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. In the next verse, he goes on and says that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then a few verses later, in verse 44, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We have that promise when we're in Christ that there is that resurrection. Now, as we go back to the passage of Scripture that I just read, Jesus' promise, how will that be fulfilled? And the Lord here in the book of Thessalonians has revealed to us through the Apostle Paul the events that will take place. It says the dead will be brought to be with Jesus. It says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's not just going to raise us up, but he wants us to be with him. We're not forsaken. We're not forgotten. The passage that Pastor Howard read, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord goes with us. John didn't go through that alone. The Lord was there with him. And he's there to be with us here in the time of this death. It says, when the Lord comes, the dead will be raised first. The next verse says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. So he's saying there that before the believers go, when Christ comes, the dead are going to go first. And then it says how it's going to be. The Lord is coming in the air. There's a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air that is revealed in this passage. Later on, we read in the Scriptures when the Lord comes to rule and to reign here on the earth, then he comes to the earth. But there is this coming here. There is this coming when he comes in the air. And this is what it speaks of here in the next verse. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I don't know what that shout's going to be like of the Lord when he shouts when he comes. I know that he just spoke a word. Lazarus, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Lazarus come forth. But when the Lord comes in the air to call his own unto himself, it says he comes with a shout. Other scriptures let us know that this is not going to be just here in Marlborough Cemetery where the dead are going to be raised first, but out of the grave there is the resurrection when Jesus Christ will call them to come. But it says that a shout from the Lord and the voice of the archangel. I have no idea what the voice of the archangel is, but it's going to be a dramatic event. Amen. And the trump of God, what that is, I don't know. But it's a dramatic event. But in the last, it says, and the dead shall be raised. They shall be raised first. I've had a pattern that I've followed the last number of years. We've always had, except for this year when we couldn't meet on Easter Sunday, I would go and after our sunrise service, I would go back to the cemetery there in the Bloomfield and walk through and just look at some of the tombstones and those that it showed on their tombstone their faith in Christ. And I thought, wow, if the Lord should come today, we would see those that would be raised out of the grave. But then that's where those who believe in Christ will then meet Christ in the air. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we call the rapture. It's what we call the time of when we are caught up to be with the Lord. I've had some that don't believe in the rapture have said, well, the rapture isn't any place in the Bible. Well, here, when it says we're caught up, that's what rapture means. In fact, rapture is the word that was translated when the Greek was translated into the Latin in the Latin Vulgate. It's the word here, and I'm not very good at Latin, but it was a raptamur. That's a Bible term. They are caught up to be with the Lord. The Lord is coming. It's a time when the Lord will come and take us unto himself, and we will ever be with the Lord. And so, even as I told my Sunday school teacher, I reminded her of those scriptures. I even give that scripture here to Alba, If the Lord comes before you die, he will go first and you'll meet him right there in the air. If you go, and if I go before the Lord comes, then I'll go first and then you guys will meet you up there. What a blessed passage of scripture that is. That's why the last verse here says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, John is with Jesus today. This body will only use this coffin temporarily. It is waiting for the resurrection. I had a pastor friend down in Coshocton years ago. He had a man coming to sell cemetery plots. And he asked the man, he said, how long is this for? And he says, well, what do you mean, how long is it for? He says, well, I'm not going to need it very long. Because he knew that he was going to be taken out of there in the resurrection. But you know, John himself is not here. He's already entered into the Lord's presence.
Amen.
You see, and the Lord, he tells us that about, like when the thief was on the cross, the one that trusted Christ. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Apostle Paul said, we are confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight, but we are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What a blessing it is that not only has John in his spirit gone on to be with the Lord the day that he passed away, but this body will be resurrected. It will be resurrected. It won't have any physical limitations, no Alzheimer's. When this body is resurrected, Al will have her sight back when she goes to be with the Lord. But much more, the Lord wants to, he wants us to be with him. I think of the passage of Scripture where the Lord promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he wants us to be with him. And so this is not the end. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a blessing it is that we have a Lord and Savior that loves us. So today, as we commit this body to the grave, we are assured that John has already entered into the presence of the Lord. We also have the assurance that this body will be raised again, incorruptible. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the promises of our God. And promises, Lord, that you have demonstrated your wonder and your power. And we know, Lord, that what you say is true as we have your written, revealed word here in our hands. And so, Lord, with confidence in you and your word and with thanksgiving, in this time we come to you. And then, Lord, as knowing that we can comfort one another with these words, I pray for that special comfort, especially here today, for Alba. Lord, as she has lost a life mate, Heavenly Father, one that she could so well depend upon. And how we pray, Lord, that you might now go with her and comfort her in these days and provide, Lord, even as only you are able to provide. And others, Lord, today, as we look at our own selves and our own lives, how I pray, Lord, that you might help each of us to recognize our need of Christ, even the same as many years ago John recognized his need. And Lord, that we might each one have our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, in who is the resurrection and the life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sing one last song in your song insert. Sing of the truth that we just heard of in that passage in 1 Thessalonians, Jesus is coming again. So we'll sing the first and the last. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carols we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. May be morning, may be noon, may be evening, and may be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. May be morning, may be noon, may be evening, and may be soon.
Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Gathered here today to pay our respects to a departed veteran and to offer a final tribute in his behalf. This is a time when family, friends, and veterans gather to support each other and remember the life of John H. Mealy. This banner, the American flag, is a banner of love and devotion. It is a fitting memorial to the courage and thoughts of our fellow veteran that you came to honor today. The blue field of the Star-Spangled Banner represents the sky that overlooks our land and denotes the watchfulness of God the Eternal. The red stripes of Old Glory tell us of the blood, sweat, and tears that have been offered by our fellow veterans and their devotion to the freedom of their country. The white stripes of the United States flag boldly proclaim the peace that he helped to bring to our future generations. This is his flag, presented by the Veterans Association, the flag under which our fellow veteran, John, so nobly served.
And Boulder County Veterans Association, please accept this flag in appreciation for John's faithful and loyal service to our country.
Thank you very much.
Ah! friends, this does conclude our graveside services here at Marlboro Cemetery today. On behalf of the family, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for your attendance today. And you may leave as you wish, and God bless. Thank you all for being here. Thank you. You're welcome. Oh.